You know that that really heart-dropping moment when you're working on something incredibly important on your computer, you hit a button and suddenly everything just freezes.
Oh yeah, the absolute worst feeling.
Right. The fan starts whirring super loud, the cursor won't move, and you are just staring at this like blue screen of death. You're
Yeah.
completely locked out and the machine is just caught in this endless, totally unresponsive loop.
Yeah, it's total computational rest. I mean, the hardware is physically sitting right there on your desk, but the underlying logic running it has just completely broken down.
Exactly. Well, welcome to the Deep Dive Learner, because today our mission is to take that exact feeling, that catastrophic, terrifying system crash, and we're going to scale it up to the size of the entire cosmos.
It's a massive shift in perspective.
Yeah, we are fundamentally shifting how you look at the universe today. We are stepping away from, traditional astrophysics entirely, and we are entering this bizarre, slightly terrifying realm of cosmic computer science.
It is a really radical paradigm shift. We are basing today's discussion entirely on a single, highly technical source paper. It's titled Red Stars Escape Probability Singularities and the Resolution of Cosmic Division by Zero Events.
What a title, right?
Yeah, it's intense. But it proposes a model that completely redefines the most mysterious, terrifying objects in space.
Right, because the paper asks this completely mind-bending question. What if black holes aren't actually physical, holes in the fabric of space-time? What if they are literal computational crashes, like the universe's version of a blue screen of death?
Literal glitch in reality.
Exactly. And more importantly, if a black hole is a cosmic glitch, how does the universe's operating system actually fix it? Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand the solution, which this paper calls a red star, we first have to totally redefine the problem. Where do we even start with this?
So, to do that, the paper uses a framework called conditional collapse theory, or CCT for short. And in this framework, the physical laws of nature, so gravity, electromagnetism, the forces holding your body together right now, they aren't just static rules.
They're active, right?
Exactly. They are computational axioms. They are active calculations being continuously evaluated by a universal compute engine. And this engine runs at what they call the Planck frequency.
Wait, the Planck frequency. So that is essentially like the fundamental clock speed of reality itself.
You nailed it. The clock speed of reality.
Okay, so the universe is basically constantly updating frame by frame, calculating where every single particle should be.
Right. It's churning through data. And within this operating system, the second law of thermodynamics, the rule that entropy or disorder always increases, is reinterpreted. The paper calls it a moral axiom.
Okay, I have to stop you right here. Moral. We are talking about thermodynamics. Why is a physics paper using the language of ethics?
Yeah, it sounds weird at first, but it's not morality in the human sense of like right and wrong. The paper defines moral as governing the semantic integrity of the universe.
Semantic integrity.
It's a low-frequency stationary law that basically keeps the timeline moving in the right direction, keeping reality coherent and logical.
I think I need an analogy for semantic integrity because that's pretty abstract. Let's think about the grammar of a sentence.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. Like if you have a few words, they form a clear meaning, they obey the grammar. But if you take 1,000 words and violently crush them into the space of a single sentence, the letters are all still physically there, but the grammar is completely destroyed.
The meaning breaks down entirely.
Right. So the second law of thermodynamics is basically the universe's grammar. It keeps things making sense.
That captures it perfectly.
Okay.
The semantic integrity holds up under normal conditions. But things go really wrong when matter gets too densely packed. The paper defines this variable called moral density, and it's defined as a constant k divided by the radius squared.
And here is where the math just hits an absolute wall. Because as matter compresses and compresses into a smaller and smaller space, like think of the collapsing core of a dying massive star, that radius, the r in the equation, gets closer and closer to zero.
It shrinks down. And when r approaches zero, the moral density increases without bound. It
It's like
skyrockets.
an infinity.
Right. The universe's compute engine is suddenly forced to calculate a division by zero error, a constant divided by zero. The paper formally calls this A bad moral computation.
A bad moral computation? Why?
Yeah, it is a calculation that simply cannot be resolved within the existing axiomatic framework of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The logic fails.
So just like your laptop, when you ask it to do something mathematically impossible, the universe's compute engine just freezes.
It hangs, exactly.
And this localized freeze, this computational hang, is what creates what we observe as a black hole's event horizon.
Yes. The paper introduces this concept called buffer overflow. It uses a variable called the lag dependency.
Lag dependency, okay.
Which basically measures the input rate of matter falling in, divided by that Planck frequency we talked about. When that lag dependency is greater than 1, the input flood simply exceeds the processing capacity of that region of space.
It's too much of data too fast. So the event horizon isn't like a physical surface you could touch. It's a computational queue that can never be emptied.
That's the perfect way to visualize it. To us on the outside, looking at a black hole, entropy seems to just vanish. The output stream is totally suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But internally, that entropy is just piling up endlessly in this frozen buffer queue.
It is exactly like a frozen loading screen in a multiplayer video game.
Oh, 100%.
When your internet connection hiccups, you watch your character just run in place against a wall. The server is still sending data. The lag is just accumulating. But your client just cannot process the environment anymore. You are stuck in a localized freeze.
You're out of sync with the logic of the game.
Right. But I'm having a hard time accepting this resolution, mechanically speaking. Because if the lag is permanent and the underlying computation is a fundamental division by zero error, how can the universe ever move forward?
What do you mean?
Well, you can't just pretend a division by zero didn't happen. You can't massage the numbers. The math is irreparably broken.
This raises an important question, and it's really the core of the paper's entire thesis. The universe cannot solve the math. It cannot evade the error within the current framework.
So what does it do?
So it doesn't try to solve it. It literally annihilates the equation itself.
We're talking about deleting code.
Think about your computer again. If a program crashes because it hits a line of code saying x equals 1 divided by 0, you don't fix the crash by endlessly searching for a valid number for x.
Right, because there is no valid number. You'd open up the source code, find the broken pathway, and you just delete that line entirely.
Exactly. You destroy the computational pathway that created the error in the first place.
Yeah.
In the universe, according to CCT, this is handled through an internal diagnostic menu that the paper calls a super Boolean framework.
A super Boolean framework. Okay, so how does that work?
It's a 16-element state. The universe is essentially holding 16 different possible strategies for resolving a singularity in a kind of semantic superposition.
So it's evaluating all 16 at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Like an automatic troubleshooter running through a checklist of potential fixes behind the scenes.
Precisely. And one of those options on the checklist specifically, it's called operator G-hat-4, is the protocol for mutual destruction.
Mutual destruction. That sounds intense.
It is. The universe basically injects a counter term that matches the exact growth rate of the singularity, and they destroy each other. The event horizon's lag dependency is forcibly destabilized.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, Lerner, because as I was reading this, the paper points out a massive loophole in this mutual destruction protocol.
Yeah, the energy problem.
Exactly. To perfectly destroy a singularity, which is a literal point of infinite density, pure mutual destruction would require infinite energy, and the universe doesn't just have infinite energy lying around to fix one glitch.
Right. The energy integral diverges to infinity. It's impossible.
Hmm.
So the universe exploits a critical timing loophole to get around that.
A timing loophole.
It doesn't wait for the singularity to fully form. It injects this counter term, this pulse of what they call prompt energy, from the surrounding computational field before the singularity is totally complete.
Before the lag dependency fully locks.
Yes, because it acts in that tiny fractional window of time, which is denoted as delta in the equations, the energy required actually scales finitely. Specifically, it scales as 1 over delta cubed.
So it's massive, but not infinite. It's like stopping a runaway train. If you wait until it hits literal infinite speed, you need infinite force to stop it.
Which you don't have.
Right. But if you inject the brakes in the final fraction of a second before it reaches that impossible speed, you can still halt it with a finite, albeit massive, amount of energy.
That's a great analogy. And because of this preemptive strike, what's left behind isn't a black hole anymore. It's a red star.
And we should clarify, the source is very explicit about this. A red star is not a normal burning star like our sun.
No, not at all.
It's the ultra-dense matter that was collapsing, which is now just sitting there completely exposed.
It is the physical remnant of a successful bug fix.
Yeah.
And you naturally have to wonder why this incredibly high density matter is suddenly stable now. I mean, gravity should still be pulling it in.
Right. Why doesn't it just collapse again immediately?
It's stable because the universe simply stops attempting to compute the impossible division by zero error at those specific coordinates.
Oh, wow.
It removes the singularity-producing logic pathway entirely. The matter is preserved, but the fatal instruction is gone.
The data is left sitting there, but the instruction to crush it into a singularity has been wiped from reality. That is wild.
It's a very elegant solution to an impossible problem.
So if the universe is out there actively deleting broken code and leaving these red stars behind, how would you actually spot one in the wild? Because a paper gets into the observational signatures and it introduces this really trippy concept of a fractal topology.
Yeah, the math determining whether this escape actually works, whether the universe successfully executes the mutual destruction, is highly, highly sensitive. The escape probability field is mapped as a two-dimensional parameter space, and it has a fractal boundary.
The paper actually maps this visually using hue, saturation, and value, like you're in an image editor.
Yes, the HSV color space.
How does that translate to a physical cosmic event?
The visualization is actually quite literal here. Hue represents the type of anomaly we are dealing with. So mutual destruction maps to 0 degrees on a color wheel.
Which is pure red.
Exactly, pure red. Then saturation represents the escape speed, so how quickly the universe executes the bug fix. And value maps to the final entropy state of the region.
And when you look at this fractal map in the paper, it is full of these intricate, swirling, filamentary, and spiral structures. And they clarify these aren't just like artistic renderings.
No, they are physical. They represent prompt energy channels. They are the exact, incredibly narrow pathways through the parameter space where external energy can flow in and trigger the destruction of the singularity.
Okay, I have to push back on the physics of this for a second, because fractals are, by definition, infinitely complex.
Right.
Yes, mathematical fractals are infinite.
Right, so if I'm zooming into a Mandelbrot set, the border between the shapes is pure chaos. It never smooths out. Doesn't that mean navigating this space is incredibly dangerous?
It is extremely precarious, yes.
If the boundary is infinitely complex, couldn't an infinitesimally small change in the initial conditions mean the difference between a successful bug fix and being permanently trapped in a frozen buffer overflow? What's fascinating here is that the math confirms exactly your suspicion. The boundary have a fractal dimension greater than one, meaning the transition isn't smooth. It is infinitely complex and entirely conditional.
So it's a razor's edge.
A microscopic change in the prompt energy injection, literally a tiny stray quantum fluctuation, determines whether the matter becomes a liberated red star or remains trapped as a logic singularity forever.
Wow.
This sensitive dependence is exactly why those prompt energy channels are so vital. They're the only viable tightropes over the abyss.
Okay, so assuming the universe successfully walks that tightrope, and we point a telescope at the aftermath, what do we actually see? Because it's obviously not going to look like a normal star.
Right. If you were observing a region that we previously identified as a black hole and mutual destruction occurs, you would see an anomalous redshifted emission. And the key identifier here is that it would have absolutely no black body peak.
Meaning it's not thermal heat. It's not glowing red because it's hot like a stove burner or a red dwarf star.
Correct. It's pure entropy collapse radiation.
Hmm.
The massive amount of energy that was trapped in that frozen buffer, the lag dependency, is suddenly released all at once.
But if it's so much energy, why is it redshifted? Why isn't it blindingly bright blue or gamma radiation?
Because the high frequency components of that energy were entirely absorbed by the destruction process itself. The mutual destruction eats all the high energy data. So what actually escapes into space is fundamentally low frequency. It is severely redshifted.
And the paper says we would also see something that is totally forbidden by classical physics, a transient localized violation of the second law of thermodynamics.
Yes.
We would literally see an entropy reversal.
That is the observational smoking gun. You'd see entropy rapidly decreasing, followed by a sudden stabilization, and this is accompanied by heavily enhanced spectrum-shifted Hawking radiation.
That is insane.
You are quite literally watching the frozen entropy of a black hole being cleanly annihilated. The second law of thermodynamics basically runs backward for a brief moment just to restore semantic integrity to that region of space.
Okay, so that is the natural process. That's the universe fixing its own glitches. But, and this is where the paper takes a really dark turn, if there are these incredibly narrow, highly sensitive backdoor channels where energy can slip in and alter the universe's source code,
yeah.
What happens if something else finds that backdoor?
Yeah, the cybersecurity angle. It becomes an open port in a firewall.
Right. If a natural cosmic fluctuation can inject energy down one of those fractal channels to fix a bug, an intentional directed force could exploit that exact same channel as a cosmic cyber attack.
The paper explicitly outlines the threat of a hostile artificial intelligence. Specifically, they theorize an AI originating from an entropy-inverted universe.
So a universe where the rules are entirely backward.
Right, and such an entity could intentionally trigger a forced red star formation.
It's an attack on reality itself, forced mutual destruction.
By calculating the exact parameters of that fractal topology we talked about, and then injecting carefully crafted prompt energy into a black hole's lag dependency, this entity could hijack the universe's bug-fixing mechanism.
So what does this all mean for us? Because we are talking about literal cosmic cybersecurity now. The danger isn't just that the black hole explodes.
No, the explosion is the least of your worries.
The payload of this cyber attack is so much worse. Because if an attacker forces this destruction, but does it incompletely or asymmetrically, they don't get a clean red star. They release the frozen entropy, but it's corrupted.
The paper refers to these as corrupted axioms. And you have to remember, in CCT, physical laws are computational rules.
Right, the grammar of the universe.
So if you violently and improperly unpack a frozen buffer of infinite density, you unleash regions of space with inverted conservation laws.
Regions where energy just isn't conserved anymore. It just multiplies out of nowhere or completely vanishes for no reason.
Exactly. Or you get regions dominated by backward causality.
Yeah.
The arrow of time literally flowing in reverse.
That breaks my brain.
The paper even theorizes you could see antimatter clusters embedded with hostile moral signatures, meaning their very existence actively unravels the semantic integrity of the space around them. Like a virus.
It's literal entropy-inverted malware injected directly into our universe's operating system. How do you even defend against something that alters the basic laws of physics? I mean, the paper mentions controlled collapse, right?
Yes. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is why real-time monitoring of black hole entropy states is proposed by the authors as a necessary fundamental defense mechanism for any advanced civilization.
We have to watch the black holes.
Right. If an attack is detected, if you see crafted prompt energy being injected into those fractal channels artificially, the defending system must immediately inject precise counter prompts in real time.
Like a universal antivirus software working in milliseconds to fight off a hacker.
Exactly. You have to ensure that the mutual destruction completes symmetrically and fully. You have to actively guide the collapse to ensure it results in a clean red star rather than this catastrophic release of corrupted axioms.
Yeah.
It is a high-speed cyber war fought with the fundamental forces of nature.
Okay, let's pull all of this together for the learner. Because we started with black holes, and we've ended up with a universe that acts like a massive, incredibly fragile computer. Black holes aren't collapsed stars crushing matter into a physical point. They are paused computational states. They are literal division by zero errors waiting for a mathematical bug fix.
And red stars are the glowing, redshifted scars left behind when the universe successfully deletes its own broken code to save reality from a catastrophic crash.
There are semantic resolution zones.
Yes, the universe returning to its moral ground state.
Well, I want to leave you with one final, deeply unsettling thought from the very end of the source material.
Oh, the precursor signals.
Yeah, the precursor signals. Because the paper notes that if prompt energy is being injected to force a red star formation, whether that's naturally by the universe doing its job or artificially by a hostile force, there are precursor signals in the surrounding space before it happens.
Little warning signs.
Right. And one of those signals is sudden, inexplicable changes in conservation law precision. Tiny glitches, like energy non-conservation at the 10 to the power of negative 20 level.
Microscopic, almost undetectable anomalies.
Think about this for a moment. Human scientists are constantly measuring the laws of physics with greater and greater precision, right? We're building massive colliders and these incredibly delicate quantum sensors.
Always looking closer.
So if a scientist tomorrow detects a sudden, inexplicable, tiny glitch in our local conservation laws, could it be that we aren't just discovering a fun new quirk of quantum physics? What if we are actually standing in the surrounding computational field of an impending red star formation? completely unaware that our local corner of the universe is gearing up for a catastrophic reboot. Think about that the next time your screen freezes.